Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey staff, detailed pedigree data, exclusive birth, pace, speed, and class ratings, free memberships, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, last Saturday at Belmont, the classic Grade 1 $300,000 Mother Goose Stakes was won by Include Betty, a three-year-old filly by Include. And that same day at Churchill Downs, the $100,000 Debutante Stakes went to Cosmic Elevation, a two-year-old filly by Proud Citizen. Bred by Lavin Bloodstock and Bird and C. Jones, Include Betty won the Mother Goose Stakes by widening 3 1/4 lengths to become the seventh Grade 1 winner by Include. 13 others have placed in Grade 1 stakes. That's 20 Grade 1 horses by Include. The debutante was just a second start for Cosmic Elevation. She won going away by a length and a half. The daughter of Proud Citizen was bred by Gabriel and William Dubman and Tranquility Investments. Proud Citizens are side four champions, side two winners of the Classic Kentucky Oaks. Include and Proud Citizen both stand at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. So does Majestic Perfection, sire of this year's winner of the Kentucky Oaks in his first crop. For more on the Airdrie Stallions, see the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Capital of the world. It's Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis on Fox Sports 1580.
And down as they come!
We'll talk about the horses.
Oh, whirl away, pulls away.
The people.
Here comes Jim Cam down the middle of the track now.
And the history of the thoroughbred industry.
And it's Secretary on the Quincy by 2.5 lengths.
Now live from Kentucky's bluegrass region, here's Ursel.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here as usual at the Clocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Lexington Road. Muddy track and holiday hours today.
Yeah.
They never did this when I was clocking out here. I always had to work anyway.
But, yeah, I know.
But they gave the clocker off. They liked Susie better than they did me,
That's
I guess.
That's my, obviously.
Well, with good reason.
There you go.
But anyway, it's the holiday hours. What that means is that the lower track is closed. Nothing open but the upper track. They didn't have a renovation break. Usually, they work it for half an hour to clean up the track. It goes something off 384 right now. Hey, clocker, where's the clocker? Bring that clocker in here. They just missed the work. Anyway,
no gate crew.
8:30 from 8:30 to 9 is the renovation hours right now, and as soon as they switch the time back, we get rid of daylight saving, it'll go from 9 to 9:30. But they're going to close a big track down at 10 o'clock. EMS over here can leave. Jackie just got a phone call. That's just to keep you off the air, Jackie. Hey, I didn't get a word in edgewise now. Oh, goodness, I got Dr. Brian Waldron here with me already. He's going to do our weekly vet segment. And let's see. Oh, I guess Michael's on his way. He's back from New York.
So, he is back, yes, sir.
Yeah.
I haven't got any messages from him.
So. Well, he'll show up, you know. This getting here this early in the morning might be a little rough for Michael, but I don't know. Although he says he gets up early in the morning, but I think the Yankees coming out and he's sleeping in. But anyway, well, what are we going to do today? Wayne Mackey is coming in, and we were talking about in our opening commercial for Airdrie Stud, Include Betty. And Include Betty just won the Mother Goose, as I said. And she began her training right here at the Thoroughbred Center with Wayne Mackey, so I thought it'd be appropriate to have Wayne come on. He also gave the early training to Proud Spell. She won the Kentucky Oaks in 2008 to Believe You Can. She won the Kentucky Oaks in 2012. And to Lovely Maria, who won the Kentucky Oaks this year. So between he and Brer Jones, they're cornering the market on Kentucky Oaks winners, it looks like, or Oaks winners. Of course, the Mother Goose is a Philly classic, too, the three classic races up there. The Mother Goose's Coaching Club, American Oaks, and what would the other one be? I guess the Acorn would be. Because it's the shortest one. They've already run that. And you would think, at the way that include Betty, won the Mother Goose, that the mile and a quarter of the Coaching Club American Oaks would be right up her alley. Because did you see the race, Brian?
No, sir, didn't watch it.
Didn't watch it? Well, I did. Anyway, she was dead last.
And, oh, yeah, it was a wonderful race.
And, boy, she just blew them away. I mean, it was, she started making that move, and I hollered so loud that the dog ran under the bed.
But, he ain't out yet.
Me or the dog?
The two of them. I throw food under the bed and throw food at him.
The dog went under the bed, and I went to the couch.
That's right.
Well, anyway, well, Mike will be on here. He'll be here pretty soon. We've got Jackie's announcement coming up. Now, Steve Mooney, who normally, you know, he does our Kentucky handicapper sheet. He's taking some time off doing the Ellis Park meet and is taking his vacation, and we're going to do the Saratoga meet. When
That's
Saratoga,
quite a vacation.
I don't know exactly when Saratoga opens.
I don't either.
I don't think it opens till in August sometime.
I think they moved it up to the end of July.
I think you said July 25th.
Yeah.
July 25th.
Yeah, they open earlier than they used to.
It used to be kind of like Keeneland, you know, have a real short meet up there. But, you know, everything is, the times being what they are, you know, dates are changing around. Right now they're running at Tampa Bay. They never ran at Tampa Bay in the summertime.
God, I'll bet that's hot.
Oh, I bet it is, too. But, that's, you know, that's not South Florida. That's, but it's still,
but it's
Florida. But
farther south than Calder.
Oh, no. No, Calder is right down on the, in,
it is?
Yeah. Calder's down in South Florida. Tampa is in Tampa, which was on the Gulf Coast, halfway up. You know, it's closer to Ocala. You know. And,
oh, it's all hot. They can have it, too.
Yeah, I know it is.
When I was growing up, everybody wanted to retire to Florida, and everybody I know that did has come back.
Is that right?
Yeah, all the girls in my class, you know.
I spent some winters in Florida. And,
winter's one thing.
Well, yeah, but then one of them extended up into the summer, and I tell you what, you couldn't drive without air conditioning down there. I mean,
it's so crowded.
Yeah, I know. It's like one big taco stand down there.
No, it's worse than that. It's just you can't park. You can't get to the beach. You can't do stuff. I mean, really and truly, it's bumper-to-bumper traffic I don't know from where, but it's half the state.
I loved it then. You know, this was back in the 50s. I was down there, and we used to go to the beach every afternoon.
Well, now you can't.
Yeah.
I was down there, a year and a half, 2 years ago? I tried to get to the beach. You can't get to the beach.
I used to go,
hideous.
I was working for Jack Hodgins with Dixiana. I was rubbing horses for him, and one of the excise riders was Jack Nelson. Everybody called him Spider. He was pretty tall. He used to ride some races, and he was really good on a horse. And but anyway, we used to go to the beach every afternoon. We were laying there one afternoon in the sun, you know, and everything, and I kept hearing this. I was dozing off, and Spider was laying there, you know, S and tails down, and I heard this kid hollering off in the distance, you know, and I said, Spider? I says, what's that kid hollering? And he didn't even move. He just had his head down. He says, help. Matt Howard has joined us this morning. Wandered in, the lost sheep. What was going on over on the Bryan Station Road last night? Yesterday morning. We were worried about you. Did you ever find out over there, Matt?
Yeah.
What was it?
So the police had pulled over someone on I-65.
Yeah.
And they realized the guy had
either I-64 or 75.
Or 64, whatever. 75.
I was trying to think of that. I knew that was wrong. Go ahead.
And I guess they went to run him, and he had a bunch of warrants somewhere. And he fought back with the police and ran off. And they tried to tase him, but they missed with the taser. Mm-hmm. So they started the manhunt early, like at 8.
Yeah.
And then, so that's when Jackie called me, and I said, oh, I don't know what's going on. I'm having breakfast with the boys. And later on, Bud and I were running to Lowe's, and I made it to Lowe's fine, down Hume and across over. Well, coming back, all of a sudden, they have Hume blocked off with about 15 police cars. I turn around, go up on the interstate, and there's six police cars there that restarted the search again at 11 because someone spotted them on Hume. They caught him, I guess. So,
and he ran all the way over from 64, from the interstate?
Yeah.
Well, he made a hell of a run, you know.
That's, I imagine so.
It's highly motivated.
Sign that kid up.
Yeah.
Call the UK track team.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the first time when Jackie called me, me and the boys didn't have daycare yesterday, so we were at Waffle House having breakfast, and Jackie, she's like, oh, there's police and helicopters. I said, I missed it.
Yeah. Well,
but I saw the second edition of it. So.
I thought maybe they caught you doing something over there.
I looked up local news online this morning, and I didn't see anything.
They didn't mention it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the things were happening over there on that Bryan Station and Johnston Road, you know.
It's been a year.
All right. Let me pay a bill here, and we'll get back, and we'll get Doc on. He looks like he's getting ready to stall walk over here. Well, last Saturday, church with the grade 2 firecracker stakes was won by Departing, 5-year-old son of Warfront. That same day at Prairie Meadows, the grade 3 $250,000 Iowa Derby was won by Bent of Bourbon. I think on would have been better. Bent of Bourbon, a 3-year-old colt by Arch, bred by Claven Farm and Adele Dill Snyder. Departing has won 4 graded stakes. He's earned over $1,720,000. Departing is one of 10 2015 stakes winners by Warfront. 5 of them have won graded stakes, 2 grade 1. The usual kind of year for Warfront. Bent on Bourbon, bred by Northwest Farms and sold as a yearling at Keeneland for $90,000, has won 3 in a row. He shipped in from Churchill to take the grade 3 Iowa Derby. Arch is a great source of classic stamina. He sired 10 grade 1 winners. He sired 4 champions, including the top sire, Blame, Eclipse Award winner, of course. Warfront and Arch stand at Claiborne Farm. Watch for the Claiborne sired yearlings at the upcoming sales. And for more information, call Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
It's a great feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. When we moved to Bourbon County, friends recommended Hopewell Company over 26 years ago, and they've been taking care of our insurance ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables. They cover our home, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, plus liability, and they've been right there whenever we needed them, as I say, when we got struck by lightning and singed all the electric wires. They were there that afternoon, hot wired the furnace and stuff that we needed. They're great.
Linville Electric.
Yeah, with Linville Electric. I mean, it was almost like it didn't happen. And then they were there with us. Linville, the Linville boys, rewired the house, and they were pleasant. I mean,
nice
they were
people.
Like, yeah, they were nice people. It was like there was, you know, it was fine.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't bother.
We could leave the house, you know, and we didn't have to worry about it.
Tell them let the dog out when the dog wants out, stuff like that. They
we shouldn't flush the toilets.
Were those the guys that one of them, did one of the guys, was one of the guys that found a snake?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, he came. You never saw anybody come out of a.
Swore him down. It was a copperhead.
Or something. I don't know. Anyway, they're an Hopewell Company, back to. It's an independent insurance agency working for us, not the insurance company. So they get the best coverage for us and the most competitive prices from sound, reputable insurers. Contact Hopewell Company. They'll give you a no cost, no obligation review and comparison of what you got now. Hopewell Company, 820 South Main Street in Paris, 987-2347. They have a Lexington number, 254-2431. You'll get great service. Ursel guarantees it.
Well, you know, at Indian Creek Farm over in Bourbon County, they've raised a whole bunch of major stakes winners and horses that won stakes both here and abroad. First saw the light of day there, and they sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds and been doing so for years. 4 champions that I know the world over, and they've got a couple of nice yearlings in the upcoming and Thursday sales out at Fazer Tipton. There's a colt by Scat Daddy who's having a heck of a year, you know, Scat Daddy is, and this particular colt is out of a stakes-winning mare by Saddler's Wells, and she also placed in the in a classic Irish 1000 Guinness. So, and then there's a filly by Dialed In. He won the Grade One Florida Derby, his first crop of yearlings, and this is the first foal out of a winning daughter of Giants Causeway. Two really nice yearlings over at that Indian Creek is consigned. And, of course, they've raised, board, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. If you're looking, getting ready for the November sales, thinking about selling broodmares or anything like that, give Indian the folks over at Indian Creek a call. You just want to ask for Nikki Dryan or Shaq Parrish, and let me give you the number over at Indian Creek. It's 987-7443, or the website. It's IndianCreekKY.com. And if you're going to it out to the sale and you're thinking about buying, first look at those two and then think about where you're going to insure your horses and call the Clay Ward Agency. It's closely affiliated with Indian Creek. And, you know, they've been in business for some 80 years, and their success is based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. And you still get those attributes today if you do business with Clay Ward. Great people. And the number over there, here's the number at Clay Ward. It's 859-987-1861. 987-1861. Just think about the start of the Civil War, and you got their number. So those are two people to do business with. I recommend them highly, Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursulele.
All righty, back to you, Jackie.
Yeah, they caught that guy that was running loose.
Oh, they did?
He might be a cousin of yours.
What is it? One of the
last name Cobb.
Well, it could be, but that's by marriage.
One of them. Oh, okay. Okay, I just wanted
no blood relations there.
Okay. All right.
None of the Ellis's could run that fast. All right. That's pretty good. Okay. Well, Dr. Walters, Brian, your horse has turned out.
She's on vacation. I can't go on one, but she can.
Where'd you turn her out? Over at Old Friends?
She went to Robin's place. Robin is the outrider here. She has her
there. Yeah. Down at close to Harrodsburg?
Yeah. Out that way.
So. No, not her. What's the name of that little?
Salvaza.
Salvaza.
Yeah. Where she's at.
Yeah, it used to be a track down there, a training center down there. Is it still down there?
The training center? I don't think so.
What was that guy's name? He was an attorney, and he did a lot of long, slow background on racehorses, and he moved to Florida.
Yeah, he did. He's got a training center down there now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice guy. Dieters? Jim Deaton?
Deaton. That was his last name, and I can't remember his first name. Nice.
I soon we forget.
Yeah.
I forget to take my memory pills, too.
Yes, Salvisa.
Okay. My Prendigen. You know, that's supposed to improve your memory, but we forget to take them.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on, Doc? What are you doing today?
Well, I thought we'd talk about large colon problems. There was a interesting paper that looked at horses that had to be put down, but for reasons unrelated to GI disease. Mm-hmm. And they looked at their colons for any types of problems. And it was 36 horses. And they found in 35 horses, they found some lesions in their colon, and then about 2/3 of the horses, they thought that'd be enough to bother the horses clinically to cause some disease. I thought that was interesting because
they all come off the same place.
Oh no, they were from different. This was at a school in the UK, and so they were all from different spots. And I thought that was interesting because really the large colon's hard really to image with ultrasound. There are some parts of it we can measure, but other parts we can't. If we look at thickness of the colon, and sometimes they're kind of the signs that they show aren't real strong. Like the horse may just not work right, or may not want to work, or they're real girthy. You know, they don't like to be girth. So to me, that was interesting that when you have a horse, maybe has chronic colic, or maybe acts like it has some GI disease, doesn't have ulcers, that the colon may be part of what's going on there.
Now, how did they select these horses? Horses that had problems?
Horses that were put down, that need to be put down, but didn't have signs of gastrointestinal disease. So they were, say, musculoskeletal problems or fractures, things like that.
So they They found it in an autopsy, kind of.
Right, yes, sir. The things they'd found were sand in the intestine, which really we don't see sand here. Yeah. But if you have areas.
No, there's a bunch of Florida breeds.
Like Florida. Yes, and when I was.
The moral of that story is stay in Kentucky.
And when I was in Alabama, the soil was real sandy, so it was real common.
Well, keep them off the beach.
That you'd see some sand in the intestine. I think if there's sand in your environment, there's going to be some in the horse. But when you can have enough, that what it'll do is it irritates the lining of the gut. Because if you think about that, that grinds in the gut. And so if you had a sandy area, or sometimes you see horses eat rocks, so you don't really see that too often, eat gravel. The other thing they found was encysted strongyles, most common worm, and those will encyst in the gut wall, and then some ulceration in the colon too. So there have been some studies where they found, and this was in slaughterhouse horses in Canada, they found high numbers of those horses had ulcers in their colon, but nobody had ever really looked kind of at a more normal population or horses that were under more normal conditions. And so still found that colon problems are fairly common, and sometimes it's hard to equate that to the horse having signs of colic or being sick. But still, I think it's something to keep in mind. So if you have a horse that's chronic colic, it's been worked up, can't really find any obvious signs, then think about their large colon and, you know, changing their diet, trying to get them on more fiber. You know, there are some pretty good supplements too that help the horse's health of their large intestine. So,
such as,
well, there's some buffers that are made to get past acid to the stomach to help keep the pH in the colon more healthy, so the bacteria there are able to function more normally, and you have a more normal population of bacteria. And then there's some other supplements that have. They're fiber-based or oat-based. They're, again, help make a more normal environment in the colon. And really, the ones that are out there, the people that use them more often than not have been happy with them.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, talk to your vet, do some reading, decide which one might be best for you. But I think the big thing is look at the horse's diet, because that's the easiest thing to fix, is trying to decide you're giving enough fiber to the horse, because that's the colon's where that fermentation occurs. So more fiber you give to the horse, the more normal environment you're going to have back there. And, you know, if you're feeding a lot of grain, try and break that up into meals less than 5 pounds at a time. Maybe just feed more frequently during the day. You know, instead of giving two meals, give three or four, make them just smaller. Just try it, because that's a pretty easy way you can try and address colon health.
Yeah. You know, I often wondered about all that sand that they have down in Florida and everything. Is it... do they have to do something special with their horses when they raise down there, you know?
Some people do a monthly, you know, like, I remember sandblast is one that everybody uses. It's really a psyllium-type product. And if you use you can use Metamucil just to go to Walmart or wherever and buy the Metamucil. But some of those equine products, like I think sandblast, has a little bit more Metamucil or more psyllium in it.
Yeah,
I think Metamucil is about 95%, and if I remember right, the sandblast is like 99% psyllium. But you can feed them just the whole 2 pounds of psyllium, and they'll do that once a month. I had clients that used to do that once a month. They'd do the sandblast treatment, just try and clean it out.
Is that in the Ocala area, you know, where they raise most of the horses, where they would do that?
This was in Alabama, but we also worked for people in the panhandle of Florida where they had a lot of sand.
Yeah.
And they just did that kind of as a maintenance thing.
Well, Ocala's not the panhandle.
Right. But I think down there they would probably do the same thing. They probably people do the same. But they've also done some kind of neat studies where they took ponies and they did surgery on them and weighed out an amount of sand and put that in their cecum, which is the start of the large intestine. And then they measured their sand in their manure over, I think it was 3 weeks. Then they put the ponies down at the end of that 3 weeks. So they went back and weighed out the sand and showed that really if you stop their intake of sand, they would clear most of it anyway within 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Fiber helped with that, just feeding them more hay. So avoidance, if you can, is a big thing. And we'd also have clients just get stall mats and put that down the ground where they fed hay as a way to help the horses take up less sand. So that's a fairly cheap, easy way if you're going to feed hay to avoid picking up more sand. So that's something, if you're worried about that, put down stall mats and feed your hay on the stall mats. Yeah.
Many moons ago, I had a really nice 2-year-old that he was my Advocator. I don't know if you remember Advocator or not.
No.
But he was a real nice, stood over here at Gainesway, and, you know, $10,000 stud fee, and he was, I don't know how, I bought the mare and foal to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a nice colt. And I sold him, you know, as a two-year-old. He was one of those that could look like he could run a little bit, so he had to go. And he went to Florida. And he was down there about a month in colic and died down there. And I just always said, I'm never going to go down there, you know. I mean, but I'm sure the Chamber of Commerce and Ocala is going to sue me now. But you know, but I claim ignorance and listening to you, you know. There's an explanation, you know, and there is something you can do. But I just wondered about that. Yeah. And everything that mare had could run.
Yeah.
Consequently, I never got to run anything out of her. Well, I did. I had one that couldn't vet out.
No.
And I couldn't get but about six starts out of him. But I won two or three races with him. Yeah. Won a nice bet with him. His second start down at Ellis Park. Paid $28. Won as far as you could throw a rock. I loved it. Big gray horse by Hawkins Special. You remember him?
Hawkins Special, the sire of Taylor Special.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Taylor. That's Michael Blowing here now. I saw Taylor Special win the blow, but the Bluegrass Stakes. Bet on him that day. Yeah, he just wired the field, went in front, never looked back. Wasn't much contest.
Well, Taylor Special is responsible for us being able to buy our farm.
Is he really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Flop eared, wasn't he?
Yeah, he looked like a mule. He did. He looked really.
He looked pretty good in Winter Circle.
He looked pretty good when he was running on the racetrack.
Yeah,
and I loved him. He had a great personality.
Yeah, that's the horse that was rescued out of state of Washington.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. Tell a story about that.
Well, we got a call from a group up in Washington. This was years and years, maybe 9 years ago, 8 years ago. A group called Hope for Horses, and they said they found this this horse wandering around in the woods. And it's a good thing it rained a lot in Washington, because he was basically eating weeds and grass, whatever else you could find there, and it had a lot of water. So they didn't know how long he was there. And they called us because they knew that we took stallions. And I said, well, did you look at his tattoo? And they said, yeah. He goes, what's his name? And they said, Taylor Special. And I totally freaked out. So what the heck? So that's when we were over at Alfred's. So that's when we were over at Hirsland Farm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I remember it quite well.
He was there with Sunshine Forever and Ruhlman and Phrase.
Those were the first, weren't they?
McGuigan, yeah.
At Old Friends.
Yep.
Yeah. Over when Alfred Knuckles was taking care of you.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah. Good old
Alfred. Alfred's fabulous. And yeah, Alfred's always been really wonderful to us, and we really appreciate all he's done. He's still got a couple horses over there for us, actually.
Has he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let me take a break here. Thanks, Doc.
Oh, sure.
Feel free to stick around.
Oh, I will.
He's got a horse. His filly's turned out.
I know. She ran really well last time, too. She ran well in her last two races. Give her a little rest.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. She just got beat. Well, that thing it beat you kind of figured, too. Yeah, I mean, she'd run real good down in Florida.
She did. She ran a lot, ran well, too.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm surprised that you were the favorite.
So was I. I don't want to be the favorite. I don't want to do that anymore.
I don't mind being the favorite. It means at least I got a shot. I didn't run many favorites.
I've never been favored to win anything. So.
The hearts and minds of everyone at Old Friends.
There you go. Well, First Defense is having a stellar year. It began with Closed Hatches from his first crop, earning the Eclipse Award as champion older female after winning three Grade 1 stakes, the Ogden Phipps, the Personal Instant, and the Apple Blossom, giving First Defense the distinction of having sired an Eclipse Award winner in his first crop. Closed Hatches retired with earnings of over $2,707,000. Then, Dundonnell, also from his first crop, became his second millionaire by winning the Sprint Cup at Hong Kong. Of course, Dundonnell had also won group stakes in England. Fame and Power, a three-year-old by First Defense, won the $100,000 Sir Barton Stakes at Pimlico this year. He's placed in two graded stakes also this year, the Matt Wynn at Churchill and Keenan's Coolmore Lexington Stakes. In Ireland, another three-year-old, Tom Belame, won the Tetrit Stakes after placing in group stakes as a two-year-old in England and in Ireland. And two others have placed in stakes in England this year. All this is just a prelude of what's to come, because the quality of mares covered by First Defense since his progeny hit the track running is fantastic. First Defense stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett Walker or Aaron Fry, 859-272-7629. See the website at judmont.com. Well, everyone in the horse business knows about Sally Van Service. They've been in the business for more than six decades now. The number of breeding trips made runs into the millions, and many of the finest thoroughbreds in the world have enjoyed a safe trip on a Sally Van. But did you know that they can also service your diesel or at Sally Vans, or for that matter, take care of your trailer, too? Just give them a call over at Sally Vans. Here's the number, 859-255-9406. They're conveniently located right in Lexington. And when it comes to moving your horse, you can depend that a Sally Van is in tip-top condition and that the person behind the wheel is an experienced driver and an experienced horseman. And that, my friends, is a winning combination, and that's why for over 60 years, the Sally Van has been the safest way to the winner's circle. Well, the Windstar Stallions are well represented at the Fasey Tipton July sale on Thursday. You'll find youngsters by Artie Schiller, Bellamy Road, Congrats, Distorted Humor. Harlan's Holiday, of course, was standing there when he passed away. Pioneer of the Now, a Super Saver, and Tisway in the sale. All sires of Grade 1 stakes winners. The nation's 1-2 ranked third crop sires, Pioneer of the Nile and Colonel John, are also represented. The first foals by Drosselmeyer and Sidney's Candy are 2-year-olds. Drosselmeyer by champion sire Distorted Humor won the Classic Belmont Stakes and the Breeders' Cup Classic, a feat accomplished by only one other, the great sire, A.P. Indy. Sidney's Candy won Grade 1 stakes, earned over $1,100,000. He's by the top sire Candy Ride out of a Stormcat mare. Then there are first crop sires Bodemeister, like Pioneer of the Nile, a Grade 1 winner by Empire Maker, and Gemologist, one of 13 Grade 1 winners by the big horse sire Tis Now. For more on the Windstar Stallions, call Kyle Wilson or Sean Tugel at 873-1717. Take a look at the website, windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
Well, as you say, we're back at the Thoroughbred Training Center, and Michael Bowen has joined this group here.
Yes, sir.
Michael, good to see you this morning. You got your Silver Charm hat. Now, which Silver Charm is that? Is that the big horse or the little horse?
It's the big horse, but okay. I alternate it so the little one doesn't get mad at me.
Okay.
it's funny. We had a big tour the other day, and so I let one of the little kids take little Silver Charm around on the lead him around on the tour. You might have thought he won the Kentucky Derby. This kid, it was hilarious.
Yeah. Does he behave himself when he does?
Oh,
that?
Yeah. He can do anything. He's bomb proof now.
Is he? Well, I bet he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a lucky little sucker he is.
He's a funny little horse.
Yeah.
He doesn't like it, though. If I feed Silver Charm his carrots before I give him little Silver Charm his carrots, little Silver Charm starts banging on the fence and putting up a fit.
Are they close to each other?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. What paddock is the Derby winner in?
He's in what was Creator's paddock behind the house.
Oh, okay. So he can, well, you're going to have to. I thought the barn would be in, but you're not lying to me, are you?
What?
Why? Because I thought the barn would be between them, where Creator was.
No, no. Well, that's probably how long it's been since you've been to the farm.
Well, it might have been.
We moved a few horses since then, since your 22nd birthday. Gee whiz. But we brought four horses down to Kentucky Downs. So we opened up our branch down. It's not officially open yet. We're letting the horses settle, and then we'll have an opening. Everybody come visit and everything.
Okay.
That's really been, that's when's really that been nice. September.
September. So you're getting them down, you know, 5 or 6 weeks
yeah,
early.
Yeah, make your travel plan. September 16th, the Old Friends Stakes at Kentucky Downs, $150,000 race.
Is it on a Saturday?
It's on a Wednesday.
Oh, it's on a Wednesday. Well, mm-hmm. I got a shot of making it.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Corey said we're going to name all the other races after our horses, after some of our horses.
Oh, that day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
going to have a tent with a big tent with seating for 300 people and food and booze, raise money for Old Friends, have a blast. My friend Fred Kuroviak is making the trophy. He's sculpting it. It's going to be a very, very beautiful trophy.
Yeah.
And Corey's named me the assistant stakes secretary because I've got Joe Sharp in line to bring a horse, and Ken Ramsey said he's bringing a couple, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing some part-time work.
Is it a pay job?
Huh?
Is it a pay job?
None of my jobs are paid or something. But you know, at least I know my wife didn't marry me for my money. When you're broke all the time, that's what happens.
Yes.
And then let's see. What else? Oh, So last night we went to eat at Proud Mary's, which is a barbecue place down on the river, Old Richmond Road.
Yeah.
It's a great place. And Steve Norman's band performed, and Shane Sellers was there, the former jockey. And we had a great time. And today they're having a whole bunch of bands starting at 3 o'clock, going into the evening, and it's a fundraiser for Old Friends.
Yeah, well, that's great. And where is this again?
It's called Proud Mary's. It's down at the end of Old Richmond Road. By the river.
Oh, used to be the old Circle, Circle M or something.
Maybe.
I know where. Yeah, off the place down by the underneath the Clay's Ferry Bridge.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I've been used to. I'm
on. Oh, now we're. Uh-oh. Settle back, big boy.
I spent many an hour down there.
I bet you did.
I'm surprised it's still open. That's one of the few joints around here older than me.
It's a great place. I'd never been there till yesterday, and it was great. The food was great. The company was great.
They had a black group down there that played Richardson, I think was the name. Boy, they were good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to go down there a lot. Yeah, really.
It was mobbed last night. It was mobbed. I mean, even with the weather, they got a big patio that's outside and it overlooks the river. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. Is the old bridge still there?
Yeah,
it's still there. Yeah. Well, I'd be afraid to cross that thing. It's been there. Whew. Wow. I got to tell you a story about that. You know, before they built the interstate and the big bridge, you know, my dad used to fox hunt, and they'd go up in Estill County. And he had this little old Ford pickup truck, you know, that he built a cage on the back and put dogs in the back. He called it the dog wagon.
Uh-huh.
And he and Jack Dalzell, who was working at Dixiana at that same time, they were coming back, and they were going down the hill toward the Clay's Ferry Bridge, you know. And they were driving along, and here came this tire. It's just wheel going right by him, boom, 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 you know, like that, going straight to the river. And it'd come off the truck, you know.
Oh, my God.
And there was one thing that would stop that thing from going to the river. It was a telephone pole there, and it hit a dead center and bounced back in the road. So they got back up, he got out, you know, put the wheel back on, and went on.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but that was, we used to, if you approach that little bridge from the right, there used to be a really nice beach up there, and we used to go down there and go swimming all the time. Huh. And I remember that swimming there, and you know, so I'm pretty familiar.
Oh, Boonesboro Beach. Or
no, it wasn't Boonesboro. It was Clay's Ferry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we went to Boonesboro too, but Clay's Ferry was more fun because what was the name of the red gem? She would remember.
Circle O.
Circle O. Told you. Yeah. I think that's what I said. Circle
that's
O.
A redundant name, isn't it?
What?
It's a redundant name.
You don't know
why. Well, that's the name of Bill O'Neill's farm, too, you know.
Yeah.
I wonder if he named it after the joint. But it was a joint.
Well, it's a beautiful joint now. It's a beautiful joint now. It's really nice. And Tommy Walters runs it, you know, had furlongs and all places. And
you're talking about runs the it. Farm or the...
No. We're talking about the restaurant down there.
There's a restaurant, a great barbecue restaurant called Proud Mary's down there. It's really, really good. We went there last night, and I was saying to Ursula, they're doing a fundraiser for us today.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the invite for dinner last night.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Thanks for the invite for dinner last night.
Yeah. I couldn't understand you.
The invite.
He says, thank you for the invite for dinner. He presumes I should have called him up and asked him for dinner, like he's my favorite dinner companion. Yeah. My wife and I had a date, thank you. Oh, yeah. We went to visit B, who are great volunteers. She had a car wreck, and she's in the hospital. And she's in Cardinal Hill doing rehab now. She does everything in the office. She's an unbelievable lady. And but she's got one of those halos on. She got a fracture in her neck. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she's a Cardinal Hill. So we went to visit her, and then we went out eating. So
yeah.
To Diane, that's our date. We'll go visit B in the hospital. Actually, it was Diane's idea to go visit B first.
It figures.
Yeah. My idea was stay for the last two races simulcast, but we went to the hospital instead.
Now, you and Diane
You're forced to do decent acts.
You and Diane were married in Las Vegas.
Yes, sir.
Tell that story.
Oh, wait. Well, okay. I wanted to tell you. The only guy I ever knew that on his honeymoon
was cashing wind tickets, you know, right after the ceremony. But go ahead. Tell that story. That's okay. A good story.
All right. So we got married in the Candlelight Wedding Chapel in Las Vegas. I got the works. So it was $45. I said, I'm sparing no expense here. This is a big deal.
That was the Elvis minister and everything.
Yeah, exactly. He looked like he was on his lunch, the Elvis, the third rate Elvis impersonator on his lunch hour. But I remember, I actually have an audio recording of the blessed event. in fact, halfway through it, it was so hilarious. So halfway through it, Diane starts laughing, and she asked the minister if we—I guess he was a minister—if we could start over. And he said no. I guess we could have started over if I gave him another $45. But so anyway, after this blessed event, Diane's uncle lived in Las Vegas, and she was going to go visit him. But there was a horse I really wanted to play in the double, and right across the street at the Stardust, they had a race book back in the time when they used to write out the tickets before the computers, and. So Diane went, saw her uncle, and I went and bet my double. I bet a $10 double, and it came in, and for $2, it paid $292 for $2. I had it five times. So those are the days where you had to go to the other window to cash your tickets. So I go to the window, I cash my tickets, and there's this lady giving me these $100 bills. And, you know, this is 34 years ago, so.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money now, but it was really a lot of money then. And she gives me all my money, and I turn around, and all of a sudden, I'm face to face with one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. And she says, "Need a date?" And I said, "No, thank you. I just got married." She goes, "Oh, congratulations." So she was the first person to congratulate me getting married.
So timing is everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Her timing was terrible, wasn't it?
Well, not that I would have engaged in any of that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, knowing him, cheap as he is, that's probably right. Okay.
It might have been a little bit more than $45. I don't know. We never got to that point, but I thought that is a funny story. Yeah.
Well, DeHare and Interdab standing at Shadwell Farm are both proven sires of greater stakes winners, and both have a high percentage of stakes horses from starters. DeHare is the sire of 16% stakes horses from starters, and he is the sire of stakes horses in every crop to race a full season. Grade 1 winner DeHare is by the elite sire Awesome Again, the nation's number one sire of Grade 1 stakes winners on dirt. In fact, probably the world's number one sire of Grade 1 stakes winners on dirt. Interdab has sired 12% stakes horses from starters, and his progeny are noted for soundness. A remarkable 84% of his foals start, and 73% of them win. Interdab won graded stakes sprinting, earned over $531,000, and he's by the top speed sire Phone Trick, sire 54 stakes winners. Also standing at Shadwell is Albertus Maximus, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile in 1:33.1, of the Grade 1 Don Handicap, of the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar, again setting a record time. He earned $1,328,230. His first foals are two-year-olds. For more on the Shadwell Farm Stallions, call Stallion Manager Ken Barnes at 859-224-4585. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. Quill and Leather Intact. And, of course, Rooster Brewery, owned by the same people. Ralph Quillen. I'm familiar with both of those places. In fact, I'm getting too familiar with Rooster Brewery, but I had to go in and buy some fly masks the other day. You know, we've got these old gildings out there. They're always tearing things up. I think they do it on purpose to keep Ralph in business. I don't know, but they're Quill and Leather and Tack. You know, they're the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship out close to 20,000 halters a year, and God only knows how many they repair or sell around here. It seems like they repair about 20,000 of mine a year, but I don't know. I've got a bunch of them hanging there right now that need to be, but they do first-class work over there. Everything is quality. Got a great gift shop and everything, and of course, Ralph also owns a Rooster Brewery, which is a lot of fun to go to, and reports are that on Thursdays they are having trivia And I should probably go to that. My whole life has been trivia. And but anyway, they say that just packed them in down there. Now, why, I don't know, but for the trivia, the beer I can understand. But why do you go in there and listen to people answering trivia? I don't know. But like I say, that's would be
right. It's all forms of entertainment, not just the kind that you prefer.
Well, okay. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Yeah, right. Well, they've got over 100 different kinds of beer. Some of them are pretty potent. I can vouch for that. And Matt Howard drags me down there upon occasion. He and his and Bud. Bud's 90 years old, so he takes us down there. You know, Bud does pretty good. He drinks two of these things, and I can't drink but one. But anyway, but it's a great place to go. It's a lot of fun. They have food and entertainment. They open just Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays. They open about 5 o'clock, and people start flocking in down there. And I tell you what, downtown Paris is starting to jump because of what Ralph Coolin has done.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really great.
It's really true. You know, he has these food wagons come in and serve food, and it's a great place to go and a fun place to go. And there's no better tack shop in the world than Coolin Leather and Tack. So. Keep that in mind. Both of them down in Paris. Well, Looking to Lucky was the number one ranked first crop sire of 2014 with 29 winners. Munnings is the leading second crop sire of 2015. Scat Daddy is Kentucky's leader on the two-year-old sire list this year and the nation's third ranked second crop sire. Uncle Mo was the nation's number one ranked freshman sire this year. Taylor the Cat was the leading freshman sire when his first crop hit the race. He just kept right on rolling. The first foals by Stay Thirsty are yearlings. And remember, Stay Thirsty is a multiple grade one stakes winner of nearly $2 million by the top sire, Bernardini. That said, let me remind you that they're yearlings by Looking at Lucky, Munning, Scat Daddy, Taylor the Cat, Uncle Mo, and Stay Thirsty in the Fasey Tipton July Select Sale, and that all those stallions stand at Ashford Stud, historically the home of leading sires. For more on the stallions at Ashford Stud, call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website coolmore.com.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
See, Michael has already confiscated my Sunday form, my daily racing form. And,
yeah, look at on the back page, there's already an ad for Bluegrass Airport to travel straight to the heart of the Bluegrass when you come for the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Wow, mm-hmm. They're starting that early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The state put that in?
It's going to be wild.
Who put that in?
Bluegrass Airport, I guess. Bluegrassairport.com.
Oh.
In fact, they have a website, bluegrassairport.com/Breeders' Cup. Get some information about both, I guess.
Yeah. You going to go?
No. I don't think so. It's going to be too crowded.
No,
I tell you what. How about you, Brian?
Oh, I've got Friday tickets.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
What if you have to work?
Hotsy totsy.
I'll be there either way, I guess. Yeah. Be there. It's going to be fun, I think.
Yeah.
I'd like to go. If anybody'd like to take me. Matt Howard's going to invite me.
They still show it on TV, don't they? That's where I'm going to be.
Well, the day after, we're having a big homecoming. We're having a big party at the farm. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll probably be working a little. And I really like, there's nothing like being there. I've been to 11 of them. And it's been... And it's a great, great, great event. But some of the advantages of staying home is you get to watch a lot of the TV coverage. Where they do features on the horses and the jockeys and the people. And I really like that,
that
too.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's
we went to one.
Yeah, we went to one at Inversor, won the classic. The only ticket I cashed all day. But somebody invited us. I forget who it was now. I don't know who it was.
When I was working at the Globe and were doing the movie job, I always used to organize my interviews around big race days in California. So I got to go to the first one in 1984, the first Breeders' Cup ever in Hollywood Park. It was unbelievable. It was beautiful. The racing started at 10 o'clock in the morning. The sun was shining. And I was sitting next to a guy and we started talking. He was from Boston too, and he got up and excused himself at one point. He said, I'll be back in a little while. So off he goes. Next thing I know, I look up, he's in the winner's circle with Chief's Crown in the first Breeders' Cup race ever.
Is that right?
Yeah, Carl Rosen.
Oh, wow.
He didn't. Little did you know.
No, then he came back, signed my program. I said, hey, you have to sign my program now.
Yeah.
That's great. So he did. Yeah. Yeah, it was really. Cary Grant was there.
And Elizabeth Taylor was
Elizabeth
there.
Taylor and John Forsythe and Angie Dickinson. And it was star studded.
Oh. And Michael Blowen.
Oh, yeah. I was over there on the bench with Mr. Rosen.
I'd have been over there with Elizabeth Taylor if I could.
I would have, too. You know, I interviewed her once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And it was toward the end of her career. She had made a mystery movie. I'll remember what the name of it is, but it had an all-star cast. Tony Curtis was in it, and Angela Lansbury, and a bunch of people. But anyway, she was in it. And it was at a time after she'd been divorced from Richard Burton the second time. And Richard Burton was on was on stage. He was doing Camelot on Broadway.
Yeah.
And so toward the end of the interview, I said to her, Miss Taylor, I said, I hope you don't mind me asking this, but I said, have you been over to see Richard Burton in Camelot? And she goes, yes. And I said, how was it? And she reached over and she put her hand on my knee. She says, well, my dear, I never said he couldn't act.
Very good.
Yeah, she, you know, you realize she had the most amazing lavender eyes and the greatest sense of humor. I mean, that's what everybody thinks of people wanting to marry her because, you know, she was so beautiful and everything. But I'm going to tell you, she was really, really funny and very smart.
I saw her in person once. She was in a cab. Now, how long ago is this? She was with Eddie Fisher in a cab in Columbus, Ohio. And I was standing there, and they opened the door, and she was right next to the door. And I looked, you can't help it. And her eyes were purple.
Yeah.
I mean, it was astonishing. You don't forget it. But that's absolutely.
I'm sure Elizabeth Taylor, before she died, was telling the story about how she met me and I asked her about Richard Burton. I'm sure she was telling that anecdote.
Why not?
Yeah.
So I got to catch up. I'm running faster.
Me too. I got to catch up too. I'm going to go to the farm. We've got a lot of tourists. We've been getting mobbed, people. I mean,
well, they've lined up out here.
Oh, can I tell one more quick story before I go that has something to do with the farm and racing instead of this other stuff?
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Well, there's a really wonderful supporter of ours named David Bridges, and he passed away a while back. And his wife, Terry, has said one of his last requests was to have his ashes spread in Game On Dude's paddock.
Oh. Is that right?
So, yeah. So they came last weekend, and we put up a plaque.
Yeah.
And there was probably 30 of his friends and family were there. And we had flowers, and Game On Dude put his head over the fence and watched the entire thing. And so, you know, we spread the ashes.
He didn't object or anything in it.
No, no, he was curious. And but then they all stood around and sang My Old Kentucky Home. It was really cool.
Oh, that was neat.
Good.
Jackie, really there's nice. A suggestion. That's what you can do with my ashes is take mine out to the Man of War statue and sprinkle it on.
All right.
Right on top of War Admiral.
You know, we could use it as a fundraiser. Everybody could get a little jar for $20, and everybody could, you know, we'll spread them around.
Yeah, there you go.
This was more than $20.
$20 a jar. We could get a lot of jars.
$100.
$100 a jar. Do I hear $200?
Right.
$300. I told Diane when I died,
I knew he'd try to figure out a way to make a buck out of it.
She could cremate me and throw my ashes out the back where the horse cemetery is. Just don't put my lifetime earnings on the sign.
Yeah. All right. I see Wayne Mackey showed up. Wayne, we'll be with you in a minute. Yeah. He's raised more, got more horses started out here than any living human, I think. Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
I know. Does a great job for Brewery. Well, they turned another first crop two-year-old by Arch 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 loose last week at Churchill Downs, and what a classy lady led at every pole to take a $47,700 maiden special in her first start. 2 days later, maiden special winner Rhea Shu ran a promising fourth in the debutante at Churchill, and keep an eye on for Tia Floor. Winner April 23rd of a maiden special, beating colts at Keeneland, won by 9 1/4 lengths. Man, she's scary fast. Three other first crop two-year-olds are placed in maiden specials, the most recent at Santa Anita. Grade one winner Arch 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 excelled around two turns, and he's by the noted Stamina Sire Arch. So it's noteworthy that he is a sighing precocious two-year-old. Then on June 29th at Woodbine, the $125,000 My Dear Stakes was won by Come to Mischief, a two-year-old filly by Into Mischief, bred in Kentucky by Brandywine Farm. The My Dear was the first start for Come to Mischief. And she won by six, so there's another runner by Into Mischief. See the yearlings by Arch, 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 Into Mischief, Dominus, Line of David, Malibu Moon, Patio Prado, Temple City, Tisway, Warriors Award, and Wilburn at the Facey Tipton July Select Sale on Thursday. So get in touch with Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker for more information. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Want to talk about my good friend Dr. Steve Alday, who is a big supporter of our friends, isn't he, Michael?
Yes, he is. Yes, yeah. He is. In fact, I had to deliver some lubricin to Ken Ramsey before he went off to New Orleans. I had to make a house call.
The human kind?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I bet he gets it to his horses, too.
$400 worth of, what's that?
I bet all his horses get it, too.
I'll bet they do, too.
Yeah.
Ken really knows the difference if he doesn't take it for a little while.
Yeah.
He'll call me up and say, my knee's bothering me.
Yeah.
But, all right. Here it comes. He's a good tipper, too, because when you deliver it, he gives me a $100 tip.
Well, he's got to hit his knees and pray a lot, you know, for all those races he wins.
Well, he's got to go out there and get the horse into the paddock, and he's got to have good knees in order to do it.
Well, I take it the lubricin for people, too, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what would happen when I stop, because I ain't going to stop.
Yeah, there you go. I don't either.
Yeah, right. There you go. But anyway, it's a great product, and also, Reborn is another one that Charlie Lepresti uses. Reborn, Wise Dan ran on it all these years, kept him going. I understand Wise Dan coming back. I hope Charlie can do good with him.
That would be great. That would be, what a story.
Yeah, it would be. It would be anyway. But both those products were developed by Dr. Alday. Both of them endorsed by many owners, trainers, and veterinarians. And they're all natural, so they're test-free. You don't have to worry about state veterinarians like the guy sitting across from me is going to be here pretty soon. Worry about him testing. I mean, you wouldn't get it. Brian, you wouldn't make it lubricin positive, would you, for anything?
Oh, no.
Okay.
It's
go said fine doc.
Oh, no, it wouldn't do that. It's in your body. Hyaluronic acid's in your body, so it's good.
Well, I tell you what, trainers that use it include Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollandoffer and Mike Maker, and that's just to mention a few of them. So that's pretty good recommendation right there. And if Ken Ramsey uses them, you know darn well it's a good recommendation. Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. It's safe. It's easy to use. And what it does, starting with foals, incidentally, it builds up the immune system. And horses of all ages, it provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges. And that's Reborn, Reborne.com, if you want to learn more about that. And Lubricin and Lubrisyn.com. And two great products. And you can buy them at, I think, the Humankind over at Old Friends. And of Lubricin and both products at the KBC in Lexington and Horse Sense in Versailles. Well, through the last weekend in June, Cowboy Callis had 37 winners this year to rank second in the nation among all third crop sires. The only sire ranked above him stands for a double Cowboy Cow stud fee, which is $5,000. Pibble won a full stands of nurses. And he had 41, had 25 more starters to top him, too. Cowboy Callis sired 7 stakes horses, 3 stakes winners, including a grade 2 winner in his first 2 crops. Now his third crop 2-year-olds are coming out running. Simple Supreme won after working a best of 44, half mile, and 47-4. Went off even money favorite in her first start, a maiden special at Churchill. And she won impressively. Adhara won her debut in a maiden special first time out at Churchill. Then finished a promising second in the $100,000 debutante, also at Churchill. Buffalo Gal ran a game second in her first start at Churchill. Blue Ribbon Girl won a maiden special at Louisiana Downs in her first start. And Range Rider won a maiden special in her second outing. This is at Indiana. Those are all current 2-year-olds. So Cowboy Cow signing runners at Pin Oak Stud to take a look at them at the upcoming sales. And for more information, call Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lelley.
All right, Michael, what else is coming up for old friends there?
Well, let's see.
We've got a couple of minutes here.
We've been working on getting genuine reward to old friends.
Oh, he's not there yet.
No.
Yeah.
Getting a horse out of Sheridan, Wyoming is not exactly like bringing him from Lexington to Louisville.
Well, I guess it's not.
No. Yeah. So we're working. Cindy Grisolia works in the office with us, does such a fabulous job, does everything. She and Sylvia do all that stuff. She's been working on the transportation plans.
Okay. But tell them about the horse.
Well, Genuine Reward was one of two foals that were born to Genuine Risk. Mm-hmm. And she always had trouble with foals. I think she was in foaled the Secretariat twice, and it never took.
Yeah.
And she had two foals, and Genuine Reward's one of them. He was in Bill Mott's barn as a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, but he had buck shins, and he had breathing problems, and he never raced.
Never raced. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Genuine Risk
won the Kentucky Derby as filly.
Yeah. Second one to do so.
Regret was the first.
1950.
Thank you. So we're really excited. Laura Hillenbrand, the author of the Seabiscuit book and this great book Unbroken, she was instrumental in his coming to Old Friends, and she's paid for all of his expenses. Mm-hmm. So it's been great. And the lady that had him did a great job. He was actually siring polo ponies out there for a long time, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think he's 22 or 23 now. Mm-hmm. Good-looking horse. He's really good-looking, and they've been taking really good care of him out there, so. We're really excited about him coming.
We had one of our horses ended up in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, out there. And that is a stud. It's a riding horse.
It's beautiful out there.
Yeah. Indiana Jones had it. His wife.
Who?
The guy that played Indiana
Harrison
Jones.
Ford?
Yeah, his wife.
Oh, yeah?
Had the horse.
Which wife?
Well, hell, I don't know.
He's married to Kathleen Kennedy.
I know the horse and I know him, but I don't know which wife
he had. Just checking. He knows all about the horse, but he doesn't know which wife it was.
Oh, he was a nice little horse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whoosh. Was his name. Had a lot of fun with him.
Nice.
The guy, the announcer down at River Downs loved him. He was always coming behind me, and I said, and here comes whoosh. He often didn't get there, but what the hell.
Everybody had fun.
We went 4 or 5 races with him.
Great.
Yeah.
It's not bad in anybody's career.
Pretty little horse. Wasn't real big. He was by hard work out of a mare named Duck Out the Door.
Yeah. That's a great name.
Yeah. Duck Out the Door.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had raced for, who was it that hit her? Alan Jerkins. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she's a little carryback filly. He came to see her when he brought the Sensitive French here running the Derby. He wanted to see Duck Out the Door, so we took him out.
He was an awfully nice man.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah. Sold him a filly, a 2-year-old, another one that I didn't get to train. And see, he won stakes with her.
Yeah.
All My Marys was her name. She's by Pago Pago.
You
would know who Pago Pago was.
I've heard of Pago Pago.
Yeah. He was an Australian champion 2-year-old that Bull Hancock imported up here. And he signed a bunch of hard-hitting kind of runners, but they ended up sending him to Florida later. Right after that filly of mine won that I bred had won the stakes. And she beat a Nijinsky that day. And I told Seth, I says, Seth, you sent the wrong horse to Florida.
Really? I'm sure he appreciated your advice.
Yeah. Well, he didn't take it. But anyway. All right, we'll let you go, my friend.
All right, Ursel. Thanks a lot, buddy. It's great to see you.
Good to see
you. Have a good talk with Wayne.
All righty. Well, June 26th at Prairie Meadows, Ghost Locket, a 5-year-old mare by Ghost Zapper, won the $100,000 Taylorville Stakes. And the next day at Churchill, Viva Majorca, a 4-year-old son of Tiago, won the Kelly's Landing Stakes. Now, Ghost Locket spent at 6 furlongs and 109.3 to take the Taylorville. Bred in Kentucky by Dream Walking Farm, she's earned over $252,000 now, been in the money of 14 of her 18 starts. Ghost Zapper has sired 8 2015 stakes winners, 4 graded, including grade 1 winner Molly Moran. 20% of his starters have won a place in stakes. Wow, that's a real good figure. 1 out of every 5 wins a place in stakes. Viva Majorca, bred and owned by Mary Lou Whitney, sprinted 7 furlongs and 122 to take the Kelly's Landing. Hall of Famer Ghost Zapper and multiple grade 1 winner Tiago. He earned more than $2,358,000. Both stand at Edina Springs, Kentucky. Watch for sales yieldings by the Edina Springs Stallions, starting with youngsters by the elite sires Awesome Again and Ghost Zapper next Thursday at Fazy Tipton. And for more on the Stallions, more at the Stallions at Edina Springs, call Cormac Bethnock or Jack Brothers at 859-987-1798 and take a look at the website, adinastallions.com.
Fox Sports 1580 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. WWTF Georgetown, Lexington.
Well, last Saturday at Belmont, the classic Grade 1 $300,000 Mother Goose Stakes was won by Include. Betty, a 3-year-old filly by Include, that same day at Churchill, the $100,000 debutante, went to Cosmic Elevation, a 2-year-old filly by Proud Citizen. Bred by Lavin Bloodstock and Burton C. Jones, Include Betty won the Mother Goose Stakes by widening 3 1/4 lengths to become the 7th Grade 1 winner by Include. 13 others have placed in Grade 1 Stakes. That's 20 to win a place in Grade 1 Stakes. The debutante was just the second start for Cosmic Elevation, and she won going away, won by a length and a half. The daughter of Proud Citizen was bred by Gabriel Dugman and William Dugman and Tranquility Investments. Proud Citizen is sired 4 champions and sired 2 winners of the Kentucky Oaks. Including Prouds and Proud Citizen stand at Mr. and Mrs. Burton C. Jones' Airdrie Stud, home also of Majestic Perfection, and he's the sire of a Kentucky Oaks winner this year in his first crop. For more on the Airdrie Stallions, see the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis.
All right. Well, we were talking about just then the Include filly that just Include Betty that just won the mother, the classic Mother Goose, and she got an early start out here. But Wayne Mackey, Wayne, you kind of got a knack of getting these fillies going in for Brer Jones out here, haven't you? I mean, how many of these things have you? Kentucky Oaks winners and things in New York.
Well, we've had 3 Kentucky Oaks winners here now for Governor Jones and Airdrie that we got started here at the training center. And then we got Include Betty, which is now a Grade 1 winner. And so we've been very fortunate to have some good fillies come through here for Airdrie.
What about this year's Kentucky Oaks winner? Did you have her too?
Yes, sir. We had lovely Maria here, got her going here last year.
Can I send you a filly?
Well, we're in business. We've got our shingle up over there, and we're ready to do business.
Well, by goodness, that must be nice. How long you been affiliated with Burton Jones then?
It's been over 15 years. Yeah, we've been preparing horses for him for over 15 years now.
Yeah. Well, he raised a lot of runners. I'm sure there's others that that you've raised
well,
for him. Is that good?
We've had two champions that were champions in Canada. One of them was a horse of the year up there. A filly named Biofuel, okay. And another filly that was champion named Two Indy Wee. So those were two in Canada that did really well. And we've had a couple other Grade 1 winners that have come through here, turned into Grade 1 winners. A filly named Summer Soray.
Okay.
And another filly named Check the Label that were also Grade 1 winners.
Yeah. Wow. It must be nice to fool around those guys. What do you got over there now?
Well, we've got some young ones over there that look nice. The Majestic Perfection, the young sire at Airdrie, really has started off well, and we've got some really look like top prospects over there right now.
That's lovely, Maria's sire. That's neat that horse here is hit like that for Brewery. You know, well, tell me a little bit about her.
Lovely Maria was not a big filly, but she was a very smart filly. And she was one of those fillies that when we had her, it wasn't so much what she did as what she didn't do. She never got sick. She never got sore shins. She was smart about everything, the starting gate, had a really nice way of moving. We never breezed her real fast, but the way she did breeze, it looked like there was certainly potential. We didn't know that she'd be a Kentucky Oaks winner, but when she left here, she looked like she could be any kind, though.
Yeah, well, that stud horse is a grand looking stud, and obviously they look like him he's getting good looking things because they sure sell.
Yeah, I think there's a consistency there. They do have a consistent look for the most part, the Majestic Perfections that I've seen and had. So yeah, that's a good sign for a young stallion that he kind of stamps the foals.
Have you got any over there now?
I've got several, yeah.
Oh, have you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That must be fun just to.
It's always fun when you got the young ones. You never know where the next good one's coming from, but you're always hopeful.
Yeah, exactly. Well, tell me about Include Betty. Now, Brer didn't breed her, but
he was co-breeder with her. He was I don't know I guess it was some kind of arrangement that he had with the Lavins.
Uh-huh.
But an Include filly, she too was not a real big filly. Kind of a real, when we had her here last year, she was a little bit temperamental when we first got her going, kind of had a little bit of an attitude, but the longer we trained her, she got, you know, worked better all the time, And when she left here, she too was doing well, had done everything right, had never been sick, never had sore shins, good about the starting gate. So very, you know, like I said, while she wasn't very big, had a good way of going and looked like she had potential, certainly.
Yeah. She's a seventh grade one winner for Include.
Unbelievable. Another another top sire that, you know, can get a runner at any time.
Yeah.
And they seem to be do better at the longer distances, so the longer they go, the better they do.
Yeah, well, of course, that's funny because one of the great American speed sire lines, he's a domino line, he's the last representative of that, really.
Is that right?
Yeah, most successful son from that sire.
I didn't know that, but that's that is interesting.
You know, it was by Broadbrush.
Right.
Yeah, and the best son of Broadbrush was that horse that won the Breeders' Cup. What was his name? Anyway, didn't make it at stud.
Uh-huh.
And when Brewer got Include, I remember asking him about that. He says, well, one of them's going to make it, and we're hoping it's this one. And I think it's going to be. And he was right.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's done well.
He's done well. Well, he's also had 13 others that have placed in grade one stakes. So that's 20 grade one stakes horses that he sired.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, That's unreal.
Yeah.
And the first Oaks winner you had for him was the Proud...
Proud Spell.
Proud Spell.
Uh-huh.
Now, she was a buyback out of the sales, wasn't she?
She was a first crop by Proud Citizen, she wasn't sold as... What didn't go through the sale as a yearling. Or I can't remember exactly if she did... I'm not sure she even went through the sale, but... she was kind of similar as these two in the sense that she wasn't real big during the time that we had her, but just every day she trained, she got better and better, and of course she ended up being the champion that particular year after she won the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, champion, Eclipse Award winner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's it. And let's see, Believe You Can. You had her.
Yes, we had her here too.
Another Proud Citizen.
Another Proud Citizen filly that was a phenomenal filly, and... won the Kentucky Oaks very impressively and had a multiple grade one winner. So she was a very top filly.
How was she physically?
She was probably just a little bit taller than Proud Spell, but you wouldn't have called her big when we had her. A little taller, longer kind of filly, but similar in the sense that just very intelligent and very easy to deal with. Good about everything that we asked her to do.
So you got a three-year-old colt that's running real good, this that you had, Tense?
Yeah, we had a colt here for a fellow from New York named Philip Birch. The horse is named Tense Endure. He was ran in the Kentucky Derby, and then he was just got beat a nose in the Ohio Derby there about a week ago.
Yeah, closing too.
Yeah, he would just got beat. He probably was the best horse in the race, but just got beat on the wire.
Yeah. Well, he ran second in the wood, too.
He ran second in the wood, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice horse.
Tell me a little bit about Mr. Birch, Philip Birch. Have you met him? Or?
Oh, yeah. We've been doing work for him as long as we've been doing work for Burton and Airdrie. We've had Mr. Birch, we've had one or two horses for him for the last 15 or so years. And he owns Playbill Publishing, which is a publishing house out of New York that does the publishing for the – if you go to the theater in New York, the program that you get, he publishes.
Uh-huh.
And he's got his publishing company does other things besides just publish the Playbill, but that's the main focus of his business. He breeds mostly New York breds, and then he sends them down here for us to break and train.
Well, yeah, it is a New York bred, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, didn't he? By War is Reward at over at Spencer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another horse is doing real
well. Yeah, they're planning, I think, they haven't solidified their plans, but I talked to Mr. Birch the other day, and they're leaning toward Jim Dandy at opening week there at Saratoga.
Mm-hmm. Now, you specialize mostly in just getting horses ready. I know you occasionally run. You ran one just the other day.
Ran one yesterday at Ellis Park. Unfortunately, didn't run very well. But, most of what we've done here the last 5 to 10 years is getting the young horses ready. You know, certainly I'll run them here on the Kentucky circuit. I certainly don't mind running, love it actually, but getting the young ones ready has turned into a nice niche for us, and it's worked out pretty well. So,
how many you got in training over here now?
Right now we got like 35.
Yeah.
So, and most of those are younger ones that are in the process of, you know, they'll be here, some of them maybe another 60, 90 days, and then they'll go on to different tracks around the country.
Yeah, yeah. Rory sends them to different trainers.
He does. He's got several different trainers. Of course, Tom Proctor and Larry Jones, two of his ones he uses mostly right now, but he has other ones too.
Yeah, Tom trains include Betty.
And that's right. Tom Proctor trains include Betty.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. You've been out here in the training center for how many years now?
I've been out here. Well, my daughter turns 22 at the end of this month, and I know because the year Kathy and my wife came out here, she was born that year. So I've been out. It'll be 22 years this year.
22 years.
Yeah.
Have you settled in yet?
We're lifers. They'll probably have to come out here and pick me up one of these days.
Oh, you have. There you go. I just wanted to get you over here a little bit and talk about this, and I think it's good publicity for the training center, and you know, to have you here and all these top class winners. You know that you got the stakes that these things have won. I ran to them. Here's some of the stakes: the Kentucky Oaks, the Ashland Stakes, another Kentucky Oaks, the Fairgrounds Oaks, attempted at Belmont Park, the Tiffany Lass, another Kentucky Oaks, the Alabama, the Delaware Oaks, the Fairgrounds Oaks, the Matron Stakes, and the Mother Goose, the Fantasy. Those are just the horses we've talked about.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, one thing you can't overemphasize is how well the training center does keeping this track up. It's an excellent track, especially for young horses. It's a little on the deep side, but I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Really helps develop the young ones, their bones, their muscles, ligaments. And we've had excellent luck with it over the years. And so it's
obviously,
I think it's a big plus. It's probably kind of off the radar a little bit as far as how underrated this track is for getting young horses ready.
Yeah. Well, you know, Burr Jones told me a long time ago he liked to do business with the good guys. So if you've been with him for 22 years now, I guess you qualify.
Well, we're certainly happy to have Burton as a client. He's been very loyal and very good to us.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Wayne. Well, it's Wayne Mack. Wayne, thanks for stopping in this morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
I just like to brag on things that come out of the training center, and you are one of the good guys.
Well, thank you.
All right. Got to take a break, and then Michael Blowen hanging around here for some reason. What are you hanging around for?
Well, I want to tell my lovely Maria story, and I want to introduce you to another guest.
Okay. All right. Great. We'll put him right on in just a second. Last Saturday at Churchill, the Grade 2 Firecracker Stakes was won by Departing, a 5-year-old son of Warfront. That same day at Prairie Meadows, the Grade 3 $250,000 Iowa Derby was won by Ben of Bourbon, 3-year-old Coma Arch. Bred by Claven Farm and Adele Dillsnyder, Departing has won 4 Grade Stakes, has earned over $1,720,000. Departing is one of 10 2015 stakes winners by Warfront. 5 of them graded stakes winners, 2 grade 1. Ben on Bourbon, bred by Northwest Farms and sold his yearling at Keeneland for $90,000, has won 3 in a row. He shipped in from Churchill to take the grade 3 Iowa Derby. Arch are a great source of classic stamina, aside grade 1 winners, 4 champions, including the top sire, Blame. Warfront and Arch stand at Claven Farm. Now watch for yearlings sired by the Claven stallions at the upcoming sales. For more information, call Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at ClavenFarm.com. My favorite real estate agents, Hill and Reagan Parker. They real horse people, and they help real horse people find farms or sell their farms. And Hill, of course, is a top flight horseman, been involved with horses all his life, A-level pony clubber. They've been in the real estate business, he and his lovely bride Reagan, for over a dozen years now. And when you get them working for you, they're people you can trust. They're great people to do business with. And as I say, as horse people themselves, they understand what you want and what you're looking for. If you're looking for a farm, and they can help you find just the perfect farm just for you. And they've got listings now in Fayette and Bourbon and Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark County. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. They've got a nice place over on Pisgah Pike and Paynes Mill Road, another place over on Ironworks Pike in Scott County. Got a place on Hume Bedford, another one in Versailles, and it's a lovely place right up here on the Paris Pike. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. Let me give you their phone number, 859-608-8039. And here's a website. It's a great website. You can go on there and look. And one of these days, I guess, they'll be selling my little place. LexHorseFarms.com is a website. LexHorseFarms.com. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. Well, while you're here in Kentucky for the Fazy Tip and July sale, be sure to stop by Barn 6 and take a look at the three colts signed by Polk McLean, Crestwood Farm Agent. One's by champion sire Kitten's Joy, and then there are two by Eclipse Award winner Hanson. That's his first crop. He was a champion two-year-old colt of his year. Good idea to look at the yearlings raised at Crestwood Farm, because they sure as heck know how to raise runners. They've sent more than 250 black-type horses to the races, including three fillies that earned over $2 million each. And they're the only farm in North America to do that, incidentally. The three are Serena Song, she earned over $3.2 million. Island Fashion went over $2 million. And Extra Heat went of more than $2.3 million. And she was just elected to the Hall of Fame this year. Also talk to them about the many services available at Crestwood Farm. It's a great place to board your horses. The farm number, the barn number at the sale is Barn 6. The phone number at the farm is 859-252-3770. And the website is crestwoodfarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
All right, Michael Blowen is, I can't get rid of him this morning.
Can't get rid of me this morning. So. Well, I wanted to introduce my friend Leonard Lusky. Leonard runs Secretariat.com.
Secretariat.com.
Yeah, for Penny. And he's always organizing events with the Triple Crown jockeys. Now he's going to have another Triple Crown jockey, I guess. But they're always organizing these great events. And the Secretariat Foundation, which he's part of, has always been very helpful to old friends. So,
well, Leonard, that's the second best horse ever foaled.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Where are you from? What are you doing with this website now?
Well, Secretariat.com is kind of the platform to have Penny reach the fans and be reached by the fans. And mm-hmm. it's a informational site. Also has a lot of Secretariat mementos and memorabilia and merchandise. And we talk about the Secretariat Festival, which is coming up here in Paris in September 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Been there, done that. So, I've lived down in Bourbon County.
So we do a lot of those things. And have the Secretariat Vox Populi Award, which honors the most popular horse of America every year. And a lot of neat things happening there.
Yeah. How'd you get involved in this?
Well, I met Penny, I guess, about 20 years ago. I was in publishing, and I met Michael the same way. Published a Breeders' Cup book.
Well, you went through the good and the bad.
Well, and I met her. We became friendly, and I asked her about Secretariat and her marketing plans, and she said, I'd like to give you a shot. And I've been working for her for 15 years now.
Wow. Well, that's pretty good. Yeah. You have, I'm sure you've seen the horse then.
I did see the horse. I was young, but I did get to see him and, you know, certainly watched him. Didn't get to watch him race except on TV.
Yeah.
But got to see him at Claiborne. And, it's a very special animal.
Yeah. Well, I had the pleasure of interviewing Penny it's been, I guess, 8 or 9 years ago, back when she lived in Lexington.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went by the house over there and took a little microphone, and she was fun to talk to.
She is fun.
And I got her talking about not so much Secretariat, because everybody wants to talk about Secretariat, but I got her talking about some of the old-time horses that they had over there, First Landing.
Sir Gaylord.
Yeah.
Cicada.
Well, she didn't have Sir Gaylord.
Sir Gaylord, that was a Meadow Farm horse, Sir Gaylord.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Favorite in 1962, I guess, coming into the Derby.
Okay. Well, I guess you... I'm going to check you on that.
Okay.
All right. Well, you
get our crack research department on that one.
he was a half...
Cracked, anyway.
The half-brother to Secretariat.
Yeah, I know he was.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't know him. And, of course, the filly that Cicada she loved.
Yeah, she told me a great story about that. She said... that Cicada really, they felt, could have won the Derby. But they had pulled the feed for Friday for the Oaks, and they didn't want to make her wait another day once they scratched Sir Gaylord. So they ended up running her in the Oaks, and she won. But they always felt she would have won the Derby, too. Mm-hmm.
But she enjoyed talking about those little horses, you know. And
she's great.
Talked about when Riva Ridge won the Derby. Okay. I've been corrected, yeah.
But doesn't happen that often, Leonard.
Oh boy!
I got it mixed up with something else. I guess that was a nice set. Anyway, what are you doing besides that?
Well, we with this new Triple Crown winner, you know, that's really exciting for the industry. And I help the Jockey Club every now and then with some promotions with America's Best Racing. And if a racetrack calls and wants, like Michael said, the Triple Crown jockeys to come, we try to organize signings or appearances. And mm-hmm. we brought them all up to Belmont for the Triple Crown. That was very exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's that would be. I can see. Where are you based? Do you live in?
Like, I'm in Louisville.
Oh, in Louisville. Well,
yeah.
No, that's too bad.
I love Louisville. I think it's a great place.
Do you? Mm-hmm. You just like Churchill Downs?
Well, I like the whole town. I think there's great food there. There's a lot of excitement going on. There's a lot of activities. There's, you know, they have this idea festival. It's really good, and there's always something going on, and I think it's really underrated as a place for art and culture, actually.
Yeah, well, that's what Jackie said. She lived in there, B.E., you know, before Ursula.
Yeah,
and
the good old days.
Yeah, the good old days.
Yeah. The good old days. Well, you know, when Penny lived here, she let, you know, we'd go out to eat like once a month or so. And she was so nice. And so one day I was over at her house and she goes, I'm going to let you go in the attic, but you have to promise me you're not going to take anything. I said, okay, I promise. So I'm up there about 15 minutes, and she said, I heard her say, "Are you not taking anything, are you?" She shouts from below, and I said, "No, I'm not."
She got to know you pretty well,
so,
didn't she?
So I came downstairs. I said, "You know what? I said I was really tempted to take one thing, but I couldn't put it in my pocket." She goes, "What was that?" I said, "The blanket that Reaver Ridge got when he won the Massachusetts Handicap."
Oh.
Yeah, she's been great. And we got to see her at the Belmont, too. She's doing fabulously well, and she's unbelievable.
Okay, how old is she now?
93. Unbelievable.
Wow.
So just told me she wants to go to Saratoga, and so we're going to try to make plans for that.
Yeah, I'd like to see her again. Meet somebody older than me.
Well,
there's not many of them around. At
Bourbon County Fairgrounds, September 19th. She'll be there.
She'll be there. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll be there too.
That's a great event.
Are you taking something over there?
No.
No?
Yeah. We have a policy about horses leaving the farm now.
So oh, okay. Can't do it.
Bring her to the show before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, I think Ron Turcotte will be in town that week. We'll have a lot of people in town that week. So. Absolutely.
We might actually get more than 10 listeners if we have those two on the show.
Yeah, there you go.
Double figures. Beyond my wildest dreams.
All right.
So we'll let you go, but it's great to see you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, it's good to talk to you, well, Mr. Lusky.
Thank you very much.
And why is that name for me? Oh, Mr. Lusky out of Louisville. Were you related?
No, they're the two S Luskies. I just got one S.
Oh, okay. Just one S.
Federal Hill. You're talking about
Federal Hill. Yeah. Same crop as unfortunately as Bull Ruler and that bunch. Yeah.
We
fast miler though. Oh, man, yeah. He was fast.
We get confused a lot. And I know them great people, but
I think he was by Cosmic Bomb. Is that right, Dan? Yeah. I believe he was. I'm not
sure. Well, Matt Howard's got the research department.
Get it out, Michael.
Federal Hill.
I don't know if he was or not, but that kind of rings a bell. My memory's not as good as it used to be.
That was a tough derby he was in. He was in it.
That's probably the best crop of foals ever.
Probably.
Yeah. There was another crop back in the nine Ray Counts crop, and that bunch back there in the late 1920s. And, of course, I'm a Man of War fan, you know. This picture, the horse breezing over there, that's Man of War.
Well, I saw that. I recognized that picture. And is that actually your dad holding him?
Yeah, it's my dad holding him as a weanling
that's
over there.
That's really.
He put the first halter on him.
Is that right?
When he was a foal. He was working for August Belmont at that time.
Well.
And so that's.
By Cosmic Bomb out of Ariel Mare.
Okay. Ariel, yeah. Oh, Ariel, yeah. Ariel was, he stood over at Mirworth Farm over there.
Well, let me ask you. Since you were a Man of War fan, were you a Secretariat fan when he came along and they started calling him Big Red, or did you not like that?
No, I never called him Big Red. It would have had to be Junior.
Yeah.
the second. But he was great for racing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, how could you know that I don't think there's any horse ever lived could have beaten him that day at Belmont, of course. You know, I mean, he was running basically against time.
Yep.
Because the field was very weak the Sham was over the hill.
Yep.
Then collectively, the field that he beat that day afterwards won one race.
Right.
So, but you know that he was running against time. Yeah. You know, but just yeah. Well, I'll let you go.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by.
All right.
All right. Our First Defense is having a stellar year. Began with closed hatches from his first crop, earning the Eclipse Award as champion older female after winning three Grade 1 stakes, the Ogden Phipps, the Pearson Linson, and the Apple Blossom, giving First Defense the distinction of having sired an Eclipse Award winner in his first crop. Closed Hatches retired with earnings of over $2,707,000. Then Dun Dunnell, also from the first crop, became his second millionaire by winning the Sprint Cup at Hong Kong. Dunnell has also won group stakes in England. Fame and Power, a three-year-old by First Defense, has won the $100,000 Sir Barton Stakes at Pimlico this year, placed in two more stakes in 15, the Matt Wynn at Churchill and the Keeneland's Coolmore Graded Stakes, Keeneland Lexington Stakes, both of them graded, as I said. In Ireland, another three-year-old, Tom Boleyn, won the Tetford Stakes after placing group stakes at two in England and in Ireland, and two others have placed in stakes in England this year. All this is just a prelude of what's to come, because the quality of mares covered by First Defense since his progeny hit the tracks running, fantastic. First Defense is at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, 859-272-7629, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, you can chalk up four more stakes wins for horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Last Saturday at Churchill, the Kelly's Landing was won by Viva Majorca, bred by Mary Lou Whitney, and raised at Gainesway Farm. And the $125,000 My Deer Stakes at Woodbine was won by Comes to Mischief, bred and raised by Brandywine Farm. Then on Wednesday in Canada, Red Rifle, bred by Twin Creeks Farm, that's Tom and Nancy Clark, won the Grade 3 Dominion Day Stakes. And Mr. Bowling, bred by Brad and C. Jones, won the Lieutenant Governor's Handicap. Also, Storm the Stars, bred by Summer Wind Farm, finished second in the Group 1 Irish Derby last Saturday. Horses raised on McCauley Products have won 95 stakes this year, 49 of them graded, 14 grade 1. McCauley Brothers is proud to service many of the world's most successful farms. To add your name to the list, call Mike Warren and David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Learn more about the products from McCauley Brothers and the free services available with every bag of feed you purchase. You're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway for sales and check the website at MacaulayBros.com. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, the Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form is on the newsstands right now. Of course, so is the today's edition. Boy, it's a great edition, today's edition. I tell you what, it's loaded with stakes that they're running, great graded stakes up in New York. Great program up there with the Sunday edition. Always a fun edition to get. It's got some nice articles in there. The breeders' section about the horses of racing age sale and their popularity. Joe Nevels wrote that. He also was writing another article about the Facey Tipton July Select Sale, which is this coming Thursday. And John Sparkman has got an article on the female line, the Iltis female line. And, of course, there are past performances from Belmont and Gulfstream and Woodbine, Monmouth, Belterra, Arlington, Canterbury, Los Alamitos. They got them in there. They say, And, of course, Ellis Park right here in Kentucky. But what you need to do to get that breeding edition, go to visit drf.com/breedingupdate and sign up. And they've got articles with in-depth breeding news and sales and auction coverage and a whole lot more all through the week. And, of course, it's the Daily Racing Form, and the Daily Racing Form is racing's Bible, so you can't go wrong there. So once again, go to drf.com/breedingupdate and sign up today.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
All righty. Well, I better catch up over here with the breeders of Kentucky Bred Stakes winners over the weekend. Let me get in the debris over here. I don't know how all this stuff gets piled up, but it does. Okay, here we go. The Grade 1 Mother Goose up at Belmont. The winner was Include Betty. The 7th Grade 1 winner by Include stands over at Airdrie Stud, bred by 11 Bloodstock and Bird and C. Jones, and owned by Bird and Jones and his farm manager, Tim Thornton. Tim, of course, is a farm owner himself with his sister. the three main stud down here in Bourbon County. The Grade One Gold Cup at Santa Anita, that's a continuation of the Hollywood Gold Cup, of course. Hard Acres won that. He's by Hard Spun, bred by Dream Chaser Thoroughbreds. The Grade Two Firecracker at Churchill Downs, the winner was Departing by Warfront, who stands over Claiborne. And, of course, he was bred by Claiborne in partnership with Adele Dillschneider. Grade Three Iowa Derby went to Bent on Bourbon. Bent on Bourbon by another Claiborne sire, Arch, and was bred by the Northwest Farm. Grade Three Iowa Oaks, Sarah Sitz won that. That's a filly by Sharp Humor, bred by Catherine Renee White, a veterinarian. I don't know where she's from, but she's a Kentucky bred. The Grade Three Edentown at Monmouth Park, winner was I'm Already Sexy by Ready's Image, bred by Equus Farm. The Grade Three Dominion Day Handicap at Woodbine, Red Rifle, won that. He is a 5-year-old by Giants Causeway, bred by Twin Creeks Farm, Tom Clark and Nancy Clark. Of course, Giants Causeway at Ashford Stud. A Cosmic Evolution, a 2-year-old filly, making her, I believe, her second start. Won the $100,000 debutante stakes at Churchill Downs. She is by Proud Citizen at Airdrie Stud, bred by Gabriel and William Dugan and Tranquility Investments. The Kelly Landing Stakes at Churchill Downs winner, Viva Majorca, won that by Tiago. Tiago stands, of course, at Adena Springs in Kentucky and was bred by Mary Lou Whitney. The My Dear Stakes at Woodbine winner, In the Mischief. Of course, In the Mischief at Spendthrift Farm. In the Mischief making her first start in a stakes race. She won, went right to the front and won by six. Bred by Brandywine Farm. Ooh. Well, they've raised a lot of winners over at Brandywine. The Mr. Prosperous Stakes at Monmouth Park winner was Salutos Amigos by Salute the Sarge, bred by John Hadley Thoroughbreds. The Cornhusker Handicap at Prairie Meadows went to Golden Lad. Medaglia d'Oro is his sire, bred by Rob Sham Stables. The Irish Day Stakes at Emerald Downs, Bell Hill won that by Sky Mesa, bred by Eugene Melnick. The Front Range Stakes at Arapahoe went to Lady Contender, at, also by Strong Contender, bred by LaDonna Hudson. Lieutenant Governor Stakes at Hastings went to Mr. Bowling by Is Stan, bred by Burton C. Jones. Is Stan, of course, at Airdrie Stud. And this horse won Grade Three Stakes earlier in his career. He's 6 years old now, and he's won over $425,000. The Chris Lothith Handicap at Hastings, Bluegrass Angus by Bluegrass Cat, bred by Mr. and Mrs. Richard Castor. The Supernatural Handicap at Hastings, Morning Coffee won that by Quiet American, bred by Sierra Farm. The Molly Pitcher Stakes on July the 3rd, that was yesterday. Molly, July the 3rd, that was yesterday, wasn't it? Molly Pitcher Stakes was won by Got Lucky by AP Indy, bred by Hill and Dale Equine Holdings, and Philip Steinberg. So that is it for the Kentucky Bred Stakes winners. We'll look at some of the stakes from Kentucky here in a minute. Where'd Jackie go? To Gidunk? Went down to Gideon. That's an old armed forces term. You didn't know what a gee-dunk was, did you? Yeah, that's where you go get your Dunkin' Donuts and things like that. Well, DeHare and Interdab standing at Shadwell Farm are both proven sires of graded stakes winners, and both of us side a high percentage of stakes horses from starters. DeHare is a sire of 16% stakes horses from starters. He's sired stakes horses in every crop to race a full season. Grade One winner DeHare is by the elite sire Awesome Again, the nation's number one sire of Grade One winners on the dirt. Interdab has sired 12% stakes horses from starters, and his progeny are noted for soundness. A remarkable 84% of his foals start, and 73% of them win. Interdab won graded stakes sprinting, earned over $531,000, and he's by the top speed sire Phone Trick. It's Phone Trick sire, 54 stakes winners. Also standing at Shadwell is Albertus Maximus, winner of the Grade One Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile in 133, and won the Grade One Don Handicap, won the Windy Sands Handicap. Dale Marr setting another track record that day for a mile, and he earned over $1,328,000. His first foals are 2-year-olds. For more on the Shadwell Stallions, call Stallion Manager Ken Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website
ShadwellFarm.com. Going here. Got a little brisk.
Beat at the races. You need an advantage. That edge is BriskNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey stats, detailed pedigree data, exclusive Brisk pace, speed, and class ratings, free memberships, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BriskNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, the first four is by Bodemaster and Gemologist, the yearlings. They are five by Bodemaster and eight by Gemologist in Thursday's Phasey Chip and July Select Sale. That's a sale noted for its demanding confirmation requirements. Bodemaster, like Pioneer of the Nile, is by Empire Maker, and like Pioneer of the Nile and Empire Maker, he ran second in the Kentucky Derby. Like Pioneer of the Nile, he won Grade 1 stakes, taking the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby by an eye-popping 9.5 lengths. And like Pioneer of the Nile, he won over $1 million, $1,304,800, to be exact. Bodemaster is out of the graded stakes winner, a graded stakes winner by Stormcat. His second dam is a graded stakes winner by AP Indy. His third dam, a stakes winning Gold of Roberto. Gemologist, undefeated as a two-year-old, won Churchill's Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes that year, and at three, he won the Grade 1 Wood. He's one of 13 Grade 1 winners by the Great Tisnow. Gemologist Dam, by Mr. Prospector, is out of superb producer Sulameef, a graded stakes winner by Northern Dancer. Great female family. Take a look at the first crop yearlings by Bodemaster and Gemology. You're going to like what you see. And for more on the Windstar Stallions, call Kyle Wilson or Sean Tugel at 859-873-1717 and check the website, windstarfarm.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursa Lele.
All righty. Jackie, you want to do some announcements so I can rest my tonsils?
Okay, here's an announcement. Haven't seen the sun in 2 weeks.
And our tomatoes are dying on the vine.
Everybody, yeah, it's just terrible. I had two summer squash on the vine, and they were 4 or 5 inches. I thought, well, I'll let them grow a little bit more. You know, went down. Both were rotten. Just they just quit. There's no sun. It's just
no sun on the tomatoes, and they're all green.
They're all green.
The only tomatoes I've gotten is when Bud was picking out tomato plants, he grabbed these ones, and they're actually hybrid tomatoes. Now, they're only the small ones, but they're doing fine. But plants?
They turn red?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Jackie,
I've got some early girl. I don't like those little ones. You know, I like tomatoes for put on a sandwich.
Bud thought they were the big ones, but he got them wrong.
Yeah, by mistake.
But
yeah,
our jalapenos are doing fine, and our beans are doing fine.
Yeah. Beans? I haven't gotten a lot of beans. I've gotten maybe 2 dozen.
Yeah.
But that's not a lot. I mean, that's, you know, these are pretty good-sized plants. And I'm starting to get a few, what do you call them? I've had one cucumber. But, I mean, whew, it's a mess. No sun. Anyway, so it's been so damp that I understand that it's very iffy for polo at the horse park. So if you were planning on going, it might be a real good idea to call out there and make sure it's not canceled, because they can't, they'll rip up the polo fields if they play in this kind of weather, and they don't want to do that. So, however, the Robert Murphy Hunter Jumper Show, I think, is in the covered arena. Now, I think they were going to have it outside in the Hunter Jumper Complex, but if you want to check before you go, you'll find it, of course. But that goes on through tomorrow. And then also, Mid-America Miniature Horse Club Julep Cup Show is going on. And this evening is 4th of July celebration at the Horse Park Campground. Now, starting the 6th, United States Mounted Game Association is having their World Team Challenge. Now, mounted games are one of the things that go on all winter long at the horse park. So this is kind of a big, fun thing. Starting the 8th through the 11th is the Creation Ichthus Festival, which is a music festival. It's really, really nice. Very good. Next weekend is Champagne Run Horse Trials. That's at the Hunter Jumper Complex and, of course, the Dressage complex and the cross country course. Now this is one they are doing cross country at the horse park. Sometimes they shift the cross country phase over to Masterson, but this one isn't. Now, on the 11th of July, equine art, antique, and rare book consignment. How fun is that? At the American Saddlebred Museum. So there's plenty to do, bad weather or not, at the horse park. Now, Masterson has summer dressage out every Wednesday at 4:30, Summer Bird, it's called. You can go out there. Now, the rain won't hurt that because the dressage arenas are sand and whatever, packed. So there's no problem with that other than, you know, lightning and a thunderstorm. I have a question, by the way. Did you ever figure out who Federal Hill was by?
Cosmic Bomb. I was right.
For sure? Yeah. Oh, okay. When did Bardstown stand around here? Is that way, way, way long ago?
He didn't stand very long because he was a gilding.
Oh. I didn't remember that, but it's too bad. Would have been a great name for a Bardstown.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a Calumet horse.
Yeah. Okay, I've already said the Robert Murphy Hunter Jumper. He loves it when I get something really wrong. He just delights in it, doesn't he? Woo!
I didn't say a word.
Yes, you did. Well, boo, 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 gelding. Okay.
It was a fact.
That was just a fact.
Yeah. Thanks, Bressy.
Thank you, Rhett.
Last donut.
Bressy's on my side.
I go chase donuts for Bressy. All right. The KTA and the KTOB join Coalition for Horse Racing Integrity. That also includes the Jockey Club, the Water, Hay, and Oats Alliance, Breeders' Cup, the Humane Society of the United States. Okay, let's move along. Now, July 8th, which is 4 days from now, Welfare and Safety of the Racehorse Summit Number 6. Donna Brothers is going to be there. It's free. It's going to be at Keeneland. It's going to start at 8:30 in the morning, July 8th. So that would be Thursday. July 8th is Thursday. And it's presented
Wednesday.
Oh, it's Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Today's
the day before
Sunday.
The sale at Fazy Tipton.
Oh, okay. So it's presented by the Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation and the Jockey Club. Now, Haggard Equine Medical is named partner of the Breeders' Cup. That means they will be out there through the whole thing, having somebody on the ground, horse ambulance, and all that kind of stuff, which is pretty good. Arlington Tree Service, a friend of mine, Kenny Littrell, if you want someone to take care of your trees, or we had a tree that was growing over the house, and they came out and climbing the tree. They didn't have to bring a big crane or anything. And they cut that thing back. You can't tell it. It's really nice. And they dropped all that stuff, a ton of stuff, on two little places in the yard. And I said, you want me to move the yard, you know, lawn chairs and stuff? Oh, no, that's okay. We got it. And they clunked it right down. I mean, and cleaned it up. So whatever you want to do, they remove trees and prune and on. They're great. So I'm going to give you their phone number. It's 293-0288. It's Arlington Tree Service, 293-0288. Let's see what else.
He was by alibi. Well, didn't you look him up?
What's Matt looking something up? Okay, Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Meeting is the 28th or 29th.
Yeah, they don't have a date set yet. It's the media panel.
It's the what?
Media. They're going to have a panel of people.
Oh, they're going to have a media panel.
Oh, okay.
Not you, evidently.
Good.
Anyway.
No, they'd love to have Ursula on it, I guarantee you. Randy wanted him to be a guest speaker one time. And
he just fussed. Okay.
What am I going to talk about?
I don't know. What do you talk about for 2 hours on Saturday?
Well,
that's okay.
I talk to other people.
Anyway, July, most of July at Lakeside is open. There's a Kentucky Hunter Jumper Show July 25th and 26th. And then you have to go all the way to August when there's a CKRHA, Central Kentucky Reining Horse Association Reining Show. So there. it's a nice place. They tend to have, because they have covered rings, they tend to really fill up in the fall and the winter and not so much in the summer. The Sandy Farrell Clinic at Lakeside, July 11th and 12th, has been canceled. Don't know why. They just let me know that that's a no-go. So that's the Sandy Farrell Clinic, July 11th and 12th at Lakeside. Hats Off Day is coming up. Hats Off Day at the Horse Park is July 25th. Thousands and thousands of people visit the Horse Park. Oh, the Horse Park's going to Black Fences. And they'll save a gazillion dollars by going to Black Fences. And the only place I can think of that's left that has white is Calumet and Dixiana.
The old section of Dixiana.
The old part of Dixiana. Yeah, so anyway, Hats Off Day at the Black Fence Horse Park will be Saturday, July 25th. At Hats Off, they call it, because people donate, farms donate hats with you know, the farm logos and stuff.
Did you donate any to the Gentry Farm?
Yep, donate every year.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's nice. We're out here at the Thoroughbred Center. They're in the farm fencing materials business now.
Oh, Lynn, I was talking to Jim Pendergast over here, and they've got a new supply in of oak plank fences.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great, and they're great price. You can pick up, or they will deliver. So it's 293-1853, call Jim, and better get on it.
Let me interrupt you a minute, honey.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, they turned another first crop two-year-old by Arch loose last week at Churchill. What a classy lady, led at every pole to win a $47,700 maiden special in her very first start. 2 days later, maiden special winner Rhea Chu ran a promising fourth in the debutante at Churchill, and keep an eye out for Tia Floor. Winner April 23rd of a maiden special over Colts at Keenan, she won by over 9 lengths. She's scary fast. Three other first crop two-year-olds have placed in maiden special, the most recent at Santa Anita. Grade one winner Arch excelled around two turns, and he's by the noted stamina sire Arch, so it's noteworthy that he assigned precocious two-year-olds. Then, on March 29 at Woodbine, the $125,000 My Dear Stakes was won by Come to Mischief, two-year-old filly by In the Mischief, bred in Kentucky by Brandywine Farm. The My Dear Stakes was the very first start for Come to Mischief. She won by 6. Just another runner by Into Mischief. See the yearlings by Arch, Into Mischief, Dominus, Line of David, Malibu Moon, Patio Prado, Temple City, Tisway, Warriors Reward, and Wilburn, the Spendthrift Stallions, at the Fazy Tipton July sale. Contact Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Tuthacker for more information, and see the website, SpendthriftFarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursula Ellis.
All right, Jackie.
Okay, thank you. Horse Park, Mattaquan, FEI, North American Junior and Young Rider Championships will be July 14th through the 19th. Oh, you can pre-order your Keep Foundation Seattle SLU license plates.
Yeah.
Yes, so go on to keep.org. Real easy to find. You won't have a problem. Hunter Jumper Association, Nori Scheffel is having her Hunter Jumper show July 18th and 19th. That's at Scheffel Ridge. That's out in Bourbon County, and it's great. Dr. Travis Burns from Park Equine is fundraising for lymphoma. He is. They had a vet die at that place last year of lymphoma. So he's going to run in the Marine Marathon. He wants to raise money to do it. So I guess the best thing for me, it's a fundraising page for Dr. Amix. And I don't know how you do that. You call Parks and they'll let you know. And he's a great guy, and that's a real nice thing he's doing. Let's see. Joyce Brinsfields has summer camps from July the 13th through August the 7th. Beginner, immediate, intermediate, equitation, and adult camp. August 3 through 7.
Okay, hope that's all.
Yeah, that's it. Actually,
we're running out of time. Okay, winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show been kind of light. They canceled racing at Indiana after the fourth race last night.
Oh,
but anyway, they had 43 winners last month, which was pretty good. And starting off since last week's show this month, Maria Pinzon, Alfonso Rangel, Eduardo Caramero, Harold Jordan, and Steve Casey have all saddled winners. Big racing today, tomorrow, up at Belmont Park. They got the $1,250,000 Belmont Derby Invitational. It's for three-year-olds going a mile and a quarter on the grass. The Bolo will probably be the likely favorite in there. He's from the first crop of Temple City. There's two Temple Cities in there. The Startup Nation by Temple City is also going. And let's see, the Belmont Oaks Invitational, $1 million pot for three-year-old fillies going a mile and a quarter, has drawn a field of 14, and that is headed by Lady Eli, the undefeated filly by Divine Park. She's an Eclipse Award. She didn't win an Eclipse Award, but she should have probably. But she's undefeated as a two-year-old and a Grade One stakes winner at the Breeders' Cup. Won the Grade One Breeders' Cup filly turf. She finished second in the voting. She's by Divine Park, who stands over at Airdrie Stud. Also tomorrow, the historic Suburban. It's a Grade T. It's on a field of 8. The likely favorite is Tunnelist in there. The Grade 3 Dwyer, another historic race. I was going to do something on that, but ran out of time. It's drawn a field of 7. Texas Red, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year as a 2-year-old and finished second to American Pharoah in voting for champion 2-year-old colt, makes his return to the races. The Belmont Sprint Championship, Grade 3. Is also at Belmont tomorrow. The Victory Ride Stakes at Belmont, another Grade 3. And let's see what else Saturday. The Los Alamitos Derby, Grade 2, out in California. The Dr. James Penny Memorial, Grade 3, is the feature race Saturday at Parks. The Princess Rooney, Grade 2 Stakes at Gulfstream Park is tomorrow at Gulfstream. Also, the Grade 2 Smile Stakes, champion sprinter, the Smile Sprint Stakes, is at Gulfstream. Sunday at Gulfstream, it's Azalea, Grade 3, and the Carryback, Grade 3. Carryback, of course, the Florida bred, second Florida bred to win the Derby. Also Sunday, they're running the Queen's Plate at Woodbine, and two other graded stakes, the Highlander and the Singspiel, and they're running the Grade 3 Salvatore Mile Sunday at Monmouth Park. Salvatore, of course, a champion. Also tomorrow, the Woodbine's Dance Smartly Stakes, Grade 2. Well, there's Dale and Roy,
yeah.
And they're telling me it's time to get out. Thank Ressie here in the studio in the
lots of fun stand guests,
and,
fun guests,
and Tim down at the in the state studio. Thanks a lot. Good job again, Tim, and we'll talk to you.
Stay tuned for
Stay tuned for Cameron Mills show.
Yes,
good show, fun show. Talk to you later. Talk to you next week.
Happy